silver dollar and a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mr. Jim Tucker, James Tucker, who works with the... certainly with the American Free Press, and he was in the media as a reporter for, I guess, 25, 30 years before somebody told him about the Bilderbergers. He couldn't believe that the organization made up of the richest and most powerful men in the world could exist, and he, who'd been in the front lines of the media, had never heard of it, but, well, he's been working at it for many years, and now he certainly is our leading expert on this. He attends their meetings as a non-invited guest every year when the Bilderbergers, the richest and most powerful men in the world, gather here in the United States or in Canada. I think this last meeting was in Greece. And, of course, I hope he's going to bring us up to date with what he's been able to find out about what really is going on there and what their plans are for our lives. Thank you so very much for being with us. Why don't you tell us, of course, where the meeting was held and what who was there and what they have planned for us?
Well, it was held in the town of Zulamini, Greece, which is about 20 miles from Athens.
Right.
And at a same resort they were at in 1993 when I was there, the Steer Palace, Narsika Steer Palace. It's a tremendous resort. This year, they did something unusual. When I was there in 93, understand that when you go into their campus at Narsika, they have three very big luxury resorts. In 1993, I stayed at one of them. They sealed off the main resort, and put up the usual armed guards and sealed it off. Reporters and public at large stayed at the other two. This time, one was being closed for renovations. Bilderberg spent big bucks to keep the second one empty so they could block the access at the main gate to the whole campus. They had the most... Their security is always extreme. It's more extreme this year than ever. They had armed guards out for 2 miles on the public streets around the entrance to the campus. Of course, they had their regular detail of uniformed armed police, armed plainclothesmen, their own security detail, all lined up at the scene of the crime. But my goodness, it was amazing to see local people stop driving down public streets. And if they were approaching within 2 miles of the Narsika and did not have the right little car that told the cops they're all right, they were turned away. They may be trying to go to the grocery store or trying to get home, but they were turned away for this trial. Reporters, many reporters, including two of our own, by the cops, guns drawn, stuck in their face, and told to surrender their film, surrender their notes. Well, we have photographs of reporters being told to surrender their notes and give up their film. It was a big madhouse situation. It's very interesting.
All right, fine. Well, now, what do you think, what did they talk about? Well, let's hold off until we get back here in just a moment. I suppose the usual people were there, David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger. Any of the Rothschilds there?
Yes. Rothschilds have different last names now because of marriage and family. First, Chase Bilderberg. First of all, Evelyn D. Rothschild was a girl because his name was Evelyn. The presiding Rockefeller at the time, that goes back to the 70s and 80s, he decided to die some years ago. And I had to check down and find out that...
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this afternoon is Jim Tucker of the American Free Press, and he's telling us about what happened at the Bilderberger meeting that was held in Greece here, I guess, about a week or two ago. And here the richest people in the world get together to plan our future. Now, you're not going to read about this in the media here in America because it is all called controlled. You'll hear it certainly on shortwave programs, internet programs. You can go up on the internet and get a great deal of information on it. We have a great deal of information on it, and some of these are really very nasty people. But they're wealthy, they're powerful, they control the governments of the world, they control the banking of the world, and they plan our future. And if you think that we have representative government, you really don't understand that we have a number of congressmen and senators who go there and they get well paid and well taken care of, especially after they've retired, if they've done a good job for the elite. But of course, they are totally irrelevant. Here is where the real plans, where the real programs are laid out that will determine what happens in the future. So, do we have any idea what actually happened at this meeting, James?
Oh, well, a great deal of information on what transpired. Among your big missions this year was to exploit economic meltdown in order to generate a world Department of Treasury under the United Nations. Their plan is to have the EPA evolve into the world Department of Treasury. They also are trying to scare people with the swine flu jab and also global warming into accepting the World Health Organization become the UN's Department of Health.
And it's basically they want to use the crises to frighten the people to accept more government control over their lives and bring in a world currency. Is that what it's really about?
They've always been in favor of three currencies. Of course, the European euro. And they've had suffered some setbacks in recent years that we can celebrate. But also, they're still very dangerous, much trying to grab gobs of our sovereignty. They're our plan for many years had been for the NAFTA to expand into throughout the Western Hemisphere, so we'd have an American Union with that Mario is the currency. And there's to be an Asian-Pacific Union with still a third currency.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is James Tucker, and he was over at the Bilderberger meeting. He was saying that basically they plan on three major currencies, a North American currency, a European currency, an Asian currency, as they create these three blocks already where the countries give up their sovereignty and will have the same freedoms that they have in Mexico. And, of course, the people in Australia will have the same freedoms they have in communist China today. But basically, it's all about doing away with sovereignty. And as they do that, they bring the control under the ruling elite. He also said that they tend to change the currencies and to create a euro. So they already have in Europe, but then there will be an Amero in America, and there will be a common currency in the Asia-Pacific areas that they actually are planning then on using the threat of swine flu, the threat of climate change to justify ever more control of our lives, because they create these problems, and then the answer is, well, we've got to get the people to give up their freedom. They're frightened that we've got a crisis. Give up your freedom and we'll look after you. So pick up the story there, please. Now, who was that again?
Carl Bildt, as in, he was the long-time prime minister. Pardon me while I shuffle through a sack full of papers here. He was a long-time Bilderberg luminary. He was Sweden's... former Prime Minister of Sweden, now Foreign Minister of Sweden, and in his major address, he talked about how badly we need to have the United Nations establish a World Department of Treasury. Here's some of his quotes from my notes. Meltdown is a, quote, once-in-a-generation crisis, while global warming is a, quote, once-in-a-millennium challenge, Bill told Bilderberg. Quote, we are in a critical time. The order of magnitude of the world crisis are more challenging than we are used to. The world economic recession has already reversed strong annual growth rates in many developing countries. And in some parts of Europe, it has the potential to bring down governments. When we hit bottom, we can't be sure where we'll bounce back. This is an urgent economic crisis, unlike anything we have dealt with in living memory. He did call for a bounce back within years, not a world depression lasting 10 or more years, as some have considered, because if we had a 10-year global depression, why, their own smokestack industries would lose some profits, and they're used to immense profits. But so they won't have a meltdown long enough to scare the world into accepting more UN control, but not so long as they lose significant profits.
Well, then, are you suggesting that they think that they'll bounce back in a couple of years from now? Is this what the general...
They're hoping a couple of years, not 10 years like some had considered.
All right, fine. So basically then, now, what part do you think that they have actually played in creating this financial meltdown? Do you think that they use this so they can increase their control of our lives and impoverish our people? Or what part do they...
They want to exploit the meltdown. Now, what role they had in creating it, I don't know.
All right, fine. But they certainly are going to exploit that, as they exploit everything to our detriment and get the people all frightened and, oh my goodness, we've got to change our form of government. Capitalism has failed, and so we've got to have... Of course, these are the people who really control the wealth of the world. We don't have capitalism. We have rule by an elite, but we can't let the common people know that. So basically then they said in a couple of years this will bounce back again, and well, I certainly hope they're right. What are they going to do to try to get this out of the doldrums in 2 or 3 years from now?
Again, it will be the United Nations Treasury Department throwing bucks here and throwing bucks there in order to bring back the economy and to enrich themselves. But Bill also made the case for the... Global Department of Health. Now, the swine flu thing is sort of disappointing, but they picked out a flu and said, we'll call it swine flu. We'll talk about a pandemic. Everybody's got to get their knickers in a knot. But then Americans are now aware, if they read newspapers, that every year 300,000 Americans get the flu on average. On average, every year 30,000 Americans die of flu. Now, it's sad when anybody dies. Especially if they're going downstairs with the Bilderberg kids. But how many people have contracted swine flu how many people have died of it. Not, it's just a regular part of the flu season. So in his speech, he reached back for global warming. That's another reason we need a World Department of Health under the UN, because of global warming. So Bilderberg picked up on global warming in the late 80s and early 90s as a means of generating profits for these sons of smokestack industries to help prevent global warming. But now they're saying it's also a reason why we need a World Department of Health. It also gets worse. It's time now for every patriotic American to call his senator and say, in the year ahead, you're going to be pressured to support ratification of the International Criminal Court. Now, obviously, if we surrender and sign off on the International Criminal Court and ratify it, that court becomes superior to our own Supreme Court. We surrender another big gob of sovereignty. So the time to tell your senator, if he wants to be reelected, don't dare vote to surrender our sovereignty to the International Criminal Court. And he may say, respond in his letter, that's a dead issue. You can write back and say, that issue is coming alive. Bilderberg has ordered their little willing Wilkie of Obama to take the following action. He is to understand, I guess we need a little history on the, if I'm not being too much of a windbag, a little history on the International Criminal Court. Bill Clinton, who is a Bilderberg boy, signed off on the ICC. The test vote in the Senate showed more than 90 senators voting against it. So he never submitted for ratification, waiting for a better climate. But what Obama's going to be telling senators, and it will be true that many of the senators who voted against in the test vote, against ratifying the ICC, really wanted to vote for it. They're left-wingers. They believe in a world government. They're ready to surrender our sovereignty. But they're scared of the voters. So they, on that vote, they voted not to ratify in the test vote. So when Little Bush succeeded to office, he withdrew the presidential signature and threw it away. When Obama was elected as Bilderberg's little boy, he immediately signed back on to the presidential signature, back on the treaty, and was waiting for the right moment to submit for ratification. Now, what Bilderberg told Obama to do is to quietly reassure all these left-wing senators that you'll be able to vote for the ratification. There'll be no political penalties for doing so because we'll have a more left-wing Senate after the 2010 elections. In January 2011, that's not far away, in January 2011, we'll quietly have a vote on ratification of the ICC. It'll be late on a Saturday evening, too late for the morning news, Sunday morning newspapers, too late to rearrange the morning talk shows. There'll probably not be a thing printed about the voting to ratify the ICC. It could be a voice vote, perhaps, without even being on record. So there'll be no political penalties. You'll pay no political price to vote the way you want to, which is ratify the ICC. So now is the time for Americans to say to their, write to their senators and say, you're going to be asked to support it. If we find out you did, we'll vote against you. We vote for Satan before we vote to re-elect you. And then he'll write back, it's not going to happen. Then you explain that it is going to happen, sir, to be prepared. This is what's going to happen. It's time for Americans to fight it right now, not wait until it's too late.
All right, fine. Now, Chris, this is the International Criminal Court, the ICC, which would mean that they can impose any law from anywhere in the world right here in America, and even our Supreme Court can't object to it. Certainly, they've been trying to get this through since the time of Bill Clinton. He couldn't get it through, but they put Obama in power, and I think the average individual has never stopped and wondered who put up the 6 to 7 $100 million that Obama had for his campaign. Do you think that was just the little people all across America sending in $5 each so we could come up with $600 or $700 million? Of course it wasn't. It was the big boys who put up the money for him, just like, of course, they put up money for all the political candidates. But, of course, they wanted Obama. That's why they kept putting his picture on the front page of Time magazine over and over again, and on the front page of Newsweek magazine over and over again, on the front page of U.S. News and World Report over and over again, because he's their candidate and they control all the means of communication. So our guest, of course, is Mr. James Tucker. We're talking about the meeting of the Bilderbergers, where orders were given to the world leaders as to what is to happen in the coming years. And, of course, there are people from the Trilateral Commission simply control Obama. 11 of them are in key positions, hold all the key positions of the Obama administration. He is simply a puppet. He will do what he's told. And, well, we've got to intervene if we hope to remain free. Well, go right ahead here. Mr. Tucker?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Well, with all this bad news, we should realize there's some good news, too. As I think I mentioned earlier, the Bilderberg kids were absolutely confident in the late 80s, early 90s, that we'd have an American Union by the year 2000. It's 9 years later. Almost 10 years later, and they have not succeeded, and they're very depressed, and that's wonderful for them to be depressed. They speak angrily about these nationalists, provincial nationalists. That's us. This is a dirty word. They are citizens of the world. As Obama has said so many times, he's a citizen of the world. Well, I'm a citizen of the United States, not a citizen of the world. You are too. I believe most of your listeners are citizens of the United States, patriotic citizens, not citizens of the world government. So, while Bilderberg's taking their lumps, we have to never stop fighting, because in any way they can, they'll try to chip away at national sovereignty. So we must be remain vigilant and never let up in our resistance.
Well, we're not defeated until we give up, and believe me, of course, I believe that there are forces that can oppose the Bilderbergers, but it's going to require people all across America to getting informed, understanding. They are so powerful, why are they able to prevent any mention of this on the evening news, on ABC, on CBS, on NBC, by Jay Leno? Why does Jay Leno talk about this sort of thing? Well, because he wants to make lots of money, and he knows if he told the truth, why, he would not be there, just like most of the commentators know, that if they want to maintain their jobs, they maintain their silence, and they read the script that's been prepared for them, and they never, never, never allow the mention of certain things, or if they do, why, they immediately would attack or ridicule and then cut the callers off the air if they're on the call-in program. Well, was there anything else that they brought up, Jim?
Well, every magazine, the news magazine you mentioned, and all the networks, and the Washington Post, LA Times, New York Times, are all controlled by Bilderberg. They have all had executives attend the meetings. And if you attend one Bilderberg meeting, you are sworn to, you take this oath, lifetime oath of secrecy. It is so extremely protected. For instance, the Washington Post has had its publisher attend Bilderberg meetings since they first called themselves Bilderberg in 1954. The late Phil Graham, and he dies, his wife, Catherine Graham, becomes publisher. She attends. While she's still alive, her little boy, Donald Graham, now the publisher or chairman of something, has attended, his hand being held by their associate editor, a boy named Jimmy Lee Hoagland. And they have kept their promise to report nothing about the meeting, even to the point of letting their own newspaper be wrong. I remember they attended a meeting in 2002 when there's a great debate about whether or not the United States to invade Afghanistan, and then Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld told the Speaker of the Bilderberg, said there'll be no invasion this year of O2.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, Jim Tucker, and he's just saying that, you know, there is some good news, and that is that the Bilderbergers really thought in 1990 that they would be able to have a North American Union, in other words, get America to tear down the borders with Mexico and to join with Mexico and Canada into this North American Union, give up our sovereignty. And here we are, you know, 20 years later, 19 years later, and they haven't succeeded. So things don't always go their way. He commented, of course, that when you join the Bilderbergers, you go to a meeting, you swear an oath of secrecy, and you will never reveal anything. And he simply points out that the people who control the U.S. News and World Report and people who control the major media, people who control the Washington Post and the Los Angeles Times, they're all there, and they promise that they will never allow anything mentioned in their newspapers about it. And since many of the newspapers get their foreign news from the mainline news magazines and newspapers, of course, they do not even know the Bilderbergers exist. And I'm sure that many reporters don't know the Bilderbergers exist. And if they do and they try to report it, that's the end of their career. That's the way things really work in the United States today, ladies and gentlemen. And you must understand that, and Mr. Tucker knows, because how long were you in the newspaper business before you found out about the Bilderbergers?
I spent 20 happy years with daily newspapers. I've been editor of three different smaller dailies, held high news positions with the Richmond, Virginia Times-Dispatch, the Akron Beacon Journal. I was night editor to the Washington Daily News when it folded up in 1972. And all those years, I never heard the word Bilderberg. In 1975, I put the Akron Beacon Journal from the Washington. So this part of head of Liberty Lobby hired me to get pregnant and create a newspaper called Spotlight. And he asked me what I thought about Bilderberg. I said, who are they? He gave me some quick answers. I said, that's not possible. I spent my lifetime with daily newspapers with the wire machines clacking beside my ear. They could not exist without me knowing about it. He handed me a file with information on Bilderberg. And what really turned me around was two columns by the late, great Westbrook Peckler, the most widely read columns of his time. And he reported about, in his two lengthy columns, he pointed out, he'd gotten a call from a reader who said, funny things have happened at Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia. The reader told him that they have armed guards out, the place is sealed off, only people in limousines and helicopters can go there. And so, not like Drew Pearson, he checked out facts. He went to the some big hill, climbed a tree, got out his binoculars, and observed. And being a world traveler, he could recognize these world figures by their personal appearance. He wrote two lengthy columns naming many of them. He did not know they called themselves Bilderberg. He raised the startling questions, are these heads of state and other high officials, international Senate figures from Europe, and high officials of our own government, White House, Secretary of State, Treasury, Defense, and others, attending a meeting behind locked and guarded doors, a secret meeting, two lengthy columns, with not a special Westbrook Peckler. At that time, I was converted. I've been chasing them ever since.
Well, now, of course, was Mr. Geithner there, the Secretary of the Treasury, or some of the key people in the Obama administration?
Geithner, the Secretary of Treasury, was there. He was there last year. He is Henry Kissinger's little boys. He's attended as an assistant at Kissinger Associates in
right.
recent years. Now Secretary of Treasury, and he also signed off on we need in one of his own speeches following built. He signed off He's being a good boy. He's being very obedient.
Mr. Geithner is a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, because he came from Kissinger Associates, worked for Goldman Sachs. He was the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board of New York. He's only in his 40s. He's, of course, one of the major players. He's doing everything he can as the Secretary of the Treasury to bankrupt this country and putting out massive amounts of money. They know, of course, the best way to destroy a nation is to debauch its currency. And they're working day and night, but they can't tell the American people that their loyalty is not to America, but to this internationalist dream of a new world order, a new world financial system, a new world religion, and the destruction of Christianity. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and who were some of the other key people who were there?
Well, let's see, I've got a laundry list of them. No big surprises about who's there, although Volcker made it this time. Of course, you know, he's a leader of the Junior Varsity Trilateral Commission. They're coordinating things so well. Well, as you know, they have the same common agenda and interlocking leadership.
Well, Paul Volcker, of course, was formerly chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. He is, of course, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, head of the Group of 30. He is a personal financial advisor to the current president, Barack Obama, certainly one of the leading architects of everything bad going on today, I would say. Who else was there?
Hold on for about 15 seconds while I grab my list.
Okay, fine. Well, I think it's important for people to understand that there is, well, certainly we know that there are 11 members of the Trilateral Commission who are actually in the Obama administration. There are only about 87 Americans in the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission, and yet 11 of them hold key positions. Well, one of them is a former member of Richard Holbrooke. I think he was also at the Bilderberger meeting. There are a few people who don't come in and out of the Trilateral Commission. But, of course, these are the key people that really determined the course of the world. In fact, one of the members of the North American chapters of the Trilateral Commission happened...
Please bear with me. I'm doing this from home.
Okay, fine. That's
all. The office in Washington, Julie Foster, would be there to slap my wrist, but you have to fumble my own way through. Of course, Queen Beatrix and...
Queen Beatrix was there. She's the Netherlands?
Yes. She's about a million years old, but she's still there.
All right, fine.
Her husband, who's a founder, but they kicked him out after the Lockheed scandal because they're very prissy.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. We want to bring our other stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, of course, is Jim Tucker, and, of course, he works for the American Free Press. He was just commenting on who was at the Bilderberger meeting. Certainly, Timothy Geithner was there. He's the Secretary of the Treasury. Of course, he's a protege of Henry Kissinger, who's a permanent member of the Bilderbergers. And certainly, Timothy Geithner, member of the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, Group of 30. He was the chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City. He worked for Goldman Sachs, really got his going into the elite by working for Henry Kissinger. And here's the man who's running the Treasury Department today, determined to destroy the finances of our country. Of course, they can't tell you that. They're spending money. They're putting money out like it's going out of style, and pretty soon it will. They're laying the foundation for runaway inflation. Then Mr. Tucker said that Prince Beatrice was there. She's the queen of the Netherlands. And, of course, he says, getting along in years, but her husband organized the group back in 1954, the first meeting, and she comes on a regular basis. And a lot of the royalty, you see, this is where the royalty, the people who run the central banks, the people who run the major industries, the people who run the governments of the world get together, people who control the medium, to plan our future. So go right ahead, Jim.
Well, speaking of heads of state, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher attended one meeting. She was prime minister, didn't like it, had nothing to say, and after that meeting, she also refused to give up the pound in favor of the euro, of course, the pound being a symbol of sovereignty, like the dollar is a symbol of sovereignty for the United States. And so after that meeting, I reported that Bilderberg intended to get Mrs. Thatcher thrown out as Prime Minister of Britain. They did. She was replaced, as I recall correctly, by a trapeze artist named John Major from her own party. And it all came to pass, and I had the honor of privilege of talking to Lady Thatcher about 2 years later and asked her reaction, and she said she considered a tribute to be denounced by Bilderberg. Harshly critical of any head of state who surrender a degree of sovereignty to an international organization. So they don't win them all. That came to mind when you mentioned the other heads of state. I'm probably by list even as I speak, of course, reading the Kravitz and the Hudson Institute, Jessica Matthews. It doesn't say what. She's with the that outfit that's so closely connected, Carnegie Foundation.
Carnegie Foundation, sure, but there. Carnegie Foundation's been pushing world government. Actually, Andrew Carnegie was deeply involved in the occult. He was a Chartist, came from a socialist family, and left his fortune to bring about the world government and to destroy America. But most Americans don't understand that. They don't understand that the Carnegie International Foundation Endowment for Peace has been working to promote wars, you know, all these years. You say one thing, you do another, but they believe war is going to change the world. They were even planning on this back in 1908. One of my friends had people go through the records of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in 1908. And in 1908, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace was figuring out how we can change the world and bring about a world government. They decided the best way was to create a war, and then they decided and worked for a year on how they were going to bring about the First World War. We have actually an interview with that gentleman who was the chief investigator for a congressional committee. Name is Norman Dodd. We make that available to anybody who wants to see it. It's important people understand that these wars are all planned by the elite in an effort to bring about the world government. Please go ahead, Jim.
Well, we had Richard Pearl, of course, makes his regular trip. General David Petraeus, I guess a good soldier has to follow orders.
General Petraeus was there. Now he's the supreme commander over in Europe, over in Iraq and Afghanistan, isn't he?
And of course, David Rockefeller, obviously, is his valet, Henry Kissinger. I'm scanning even as we speak. Ron Summers, of course, who was Secretary of Treasury under Clinton, is now economic advisor. Peter Sutherland of Ireland. Now, he's part of the interlocking leadership because he's chairman of something of the Trilateral Commission at Junior Varsity. Paul Volcker, of course, he's been former Fed chairman, is now some kind of an economic advisor. But he's a regular power at Trilaterals. He's not every year at Bilderberg. Of course, the old reliable Jacob Wallenberg of Sweden.
Uh-huh. Paul Wolfowitz, formerly head of the World Bank, had to resign because he was giving a lot of money to his girlfriend from the World Bank, and they thought that was a little improper that he would give his girlfriend, a woman he was sleeping with on the side, a very plush job for the World Bank, and he was forced to resign. But he's still there with the elite. Okay, well, I suppose David
Zillick, the current boss of the World Bank, is there because the World Bank president's always there.
Okay, the World Bank president is always there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Whatever name.
And so really the people who really run the major banks are there are ordinarily, aren't they?
Yes, the international financiers are all gathered, as are high officials of the European government with some heads of state as we just mentioned.
And of course David Rockefeller is always there, isn't he, as well?
Yes. And Kissinger. Rockefeller never missed a meeting. In fact, he helped invent Bilderberg.
What about Brzezinski? Does he ordinarily show up? Zygmunt Brzezinski?
Brzezinski is a regular with the trilaterals, but does not normally attend Bilderberg.
Okay. Anybody else that we should think about?
Yep. Eyeballing this list, I grabbed the one that's not exactly perfect English.
Well, that's all right. Look,
so this will be in the, let's see, the American Free Press that went to press yesterday, Thursday. You'll receive, most people probably have not received the American Free Press. It has a very thin story filed out of the meeting before the meeting started. But the one that went to press, and they reach out to help. They're very helpful.
Well, of course, then this is pretty well covered in the European press,
yes.
That the press everywhere outside of America, where we supposedly have freedom of the press. But, of course, freedom of the press really means if you own the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever you want to. So you can go up on the Internet, ladies and gentlemen, and you'll find all sorts of articles there on the Bilderberger meeting, and then look in your local newspaper and ask yourself, how could it possibly be that we never see this mentioned on ABC, CBS, NBC, 60 Minutes, 2020, or the major news magazines or the major newspapers? Is that just a coincidence, or do we really have control of the media? Of course, there's no better example of the control that exists today over the media than the suppression of any information about the Bilderbergers. And if you think we have a free press, ladies and gentlemen, why, you're sadly mistaken. Well, Sidney, do you know Daniel Estulin? Was he there?
No, I didn't see him.
All right, fine. Anyway, Chris, you got information from somebody there that gives you a pretty good idea of what was said. Were there any other major speakers we should know about?
Let's see, except for Gessner going through his laundry list.
What did Gethner say? Because, pardon me, is it Gethner or Geithner? Anyway, he certainly is the Secretary of the Treasury.
I think that's both ways, too. He also said that we have this horrible meltdown. It'll take a global action to defeat. He followed Bill and pretty much echoes what Bill had to say. Yes, there was a strong demand that the Supreme Court do what some of the five of the idiots have already done and say that we should consider the opinions of foreign courts in deciding American cases.
We should consider the opinions of foreign courts deciding American cases. That is, of course, a subversive activity. We have a Constitution. That is the law of our land. And obviously, these people don't believe in the Constitution. They want this one world government under a ruling elite, who is them, of course. And law is simply an impediment to their goals and objectives. Are they suggesting that they bring pressure on the Supreme Court members? Or how are they going to get our Supreme Court to begin looking to foreign courts to determine how we should settle our cases?
Well, sadly, five Supreme Court justices have already come in that way in their own cases before. Should take into consideration rulings of foreign courts in deciding domestic cases. Those five justices are John Paul Stevens, Anthony Kinney, David Souter, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Stephen Breyer. Now, whatever else you may want to gripe about President W., you do like his Supreme Court choices, Alito and Roberts for the Supreme Court. And, of course,
Scalia and his name.
The Negro
right.
Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas.
Right.
Those are the three great ones, Clarence Thomas, Alito, and Roberts are strongly opposed to considering foreign decisions of foreign courts in implementing our own decisions. So the fact that we have five Supreme Court justices, well, of course, Sandra Day O'Connor has also went both ways on that, which is kind of an erratic girl. But it's a frightening thing to think that we have a majority of Supreme Court justices that have that kind of mentality, and it's not going to be improved by whoever Obama appoints to the Supreme Court.
Well, unfortunately, we have a subversive element at the center of our government. The enemy is not the communists at all. It is these elitists who hate America, do not believe in the Constitution, which they've sworn to uphold, and are doing everything they can to destroy the sovereignty of our nation. That's why they're shipping our factories overseas. That's why we're financing General Motors so that they can build up their plants in China and Russia and South America. But we can't tell the American people that. They wouldn't understand. That's why we're transferring control of Chrysler to Fiat Motor Company, which is an Italian motor company. But, of course, you know, and right now they're going to get 20%, but they'll probably end up with 51%. That is the way this whole thing is set up. Why are we transferring to Chrysler to an Italian company? Because we want to create jobs in Italy and in China and in South America and in Brazil. But they're not interested in producing jobs in America, but they can't let the American people know that. So
it'll be as within.
You go right ahead, Jim. I'm sorry. I should get off my mind.
Our enemy is within.
Right, the enemy is within.
Yes, it's frightening to think about. As you said, Bilderberg said for many years, as a trial illustration, we need to equalize things on this earth. That is, the poor countries should be have their standard of living lifted while the American standard of living goes down. Now, these rich boys are not going to have one less private jet or one less mansion to live in themselves.
Well, they want to redistribute the income, but not their income. They want to distribute our income.
Theirs. They want to redistribute your income.
Right. And I think that's what's so difficult for the average American to understand, is they really do intentionally want to lower our living standards. But not theirs. My goodness, they don't really believe in equality. They believe in a ruling elite. And they're the rulers, and we're, of course, the serfs. A feudalistic society, that's exactly what they're planning. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program. Here at Radio Liberty, our guest has been Jim Tucker of the America Free Press. Well, Jim, do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out?
AmericaFreePress.net.
AmericaFreePress.net. If you'd like to subscribe, I've taken the newspaper for, I guess probably close to, I took it when it was the spotlight, and of course I've taken it probably for 45 years and still have all of them on file, and it's a great source of information. So, and I'm so glad that you're there and you're traveling all over the world to keep us abreast of what's happening as far as the Bilderbergers are concerned. Now, certainly, was there a lot of the European press there at the meeting?
Yes. The European press is far less distant. They don't have big chains. Europeans spend more money to buy their newspapers. Not as much less based on advertising revenues in the United States. They read more. and that's why they're so active. Now, our great hope is the young generation coming up, the Ron Paul types of boys. A couple of them were came there from Los Angeles to Lulamini. But these young people are reading and they're thinking. And we have a country now where fewer than only half of that all Americans read just one newspaper a day. Just one, not four or five, just one. And that's this age of television and ignorance is very dangerous to our future. We need to have informed Americans like they were in the 50s when the sheet metal worker, one good example, demonstration of that is the Inquirer photographer column on page one of the Washington Times Herald in the 1950s. The acquiring photographer girl was named Jacqueline Bevere. We had no idea she was a future first lady at the time. She had asked five questions, a topic for the day. Typically, she'd be diverse, a lawyer, a businessman, a sheet metal worker, a farmer, and maybe a cab driver. But everyone answered the question, whatever their views might be, you could tell by their answer that they were responding from an informed position. Now, in those days, people read several newspapers. Every city had a lot of newspapers. Everybody read several newspapers. Today, about one half of American adults do not read one newspaper, not even one a day. And that ignorance is appalling.
Well, our job is, of course, your job is to write the articles. My job is to help get the information out. I appreciate so much your coming to be with us. I know you're tired. At least you got the weekend ahead of you. God bless you. Thanks for everything you're doing. Look
well,
forward
enjoy
to
being with you, and thanks for your good work, too, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we hope that you enjoyed the conversation with Jim Tucker. Of course, they control the media, so you're not going to read about the Bilderbergers. Now, we have an excellent DVD on the Bilderbergers put out by Alex Jones called The End Game, and of course gets into their plan to kill off most of the people in the world. Population control, and they really do intend to do that. And so when they come up with another phony flu epidemic and they want to give you a vaccination, ladies and gentlemen, do not take it, because time and time and time again they put terrible things into the vaccines, whether it be cancer viruses or the AIDS virus or viruses to make women infertile, chorionatotropin, like that one of our baseball players was taken, but of course you take that intramuscularly, why you can't bear a child. And of course they've really time and time and time again, they have intentionally put things into the vaccines. Do not take them. And then of course what we have, a DVD called The End Game, very good. We have a four tape set on the Bilderbergers, and we have recommend that. We actually have three books. We have a book written by Jim Tucker on the Bilderbergers, one by Daniel Estulin, and one that is called Satanic Crimes. It goes into the pedophile ring that was associated with the Bilderbergers, and some years ago, why 300,000 citizens of Belgium turned out all wearing white to demonstrate against the dark side of the Bilderbergers. Now, you would never read about that. Remember, I mean, Belgium's a real small country with only a couple of million people. 300,000 turned out, not a word in the American press. Well, the book, The Satanic Crimes, and the four tape set on the Satanic Crimes are available from Radio Liberty. You need to learn about these things, and you need to help us get the truth out across America. While there's still time, because these people are intent upon destroying our nation, destroying the value of our currency, impoverishing our people. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there. On the Internet, 9 hours a day on the satellite feed, 4 hours a day live, archive, blog, MP3, And then, of course, you can listen to Joyce Riley and Pastor Chuck Chrismeyer. We're carrying Chuck Chrismeyer's great new book, The Seduction of the Saints. Goes into, of course, what's happening to Christianity and why Christianity, in many ways, is almost irrelevant today because the Christian leaders absolutely refuse to turn out. In fact, we have as much divorce within the Christian church and even among Christian ministers as we have in the general population. What has happened to a once vibrant Christian faith that at one time was transforming lives throughout the world? And our leaders have just become fearful and they will not speak out on social issues. What we need is a great revival like we had with Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley when Wesley came to the United States from Great Britain in the 1730s. But I don't see those leaders in America today. Well, our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Don't forget the all-day conference, the two-day conference at the Conspiracy Conference. I'll be the lead speaker. Now, I go there because, of course, you need to have a Christian voice. And there's some very good speakers, some people I know and really respect. And there are going to be some people you'll disagree with, but you need to know what the enemy is doing. And it's a well worthwhile program. I look forward to it every year. It's on the 6th and 7th of July, pardon me, of June. And if you want to know more, why, of course, you can go to conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com. Or if you need the telephone number, you